Good morning, family. Let's pray before I share today's message. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that truly you are speaking to us. You are speaking to us today. And Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is alive and is continue to speak to us. And Lord, your words are spirit and life to us. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, also for the prophets that's been releasing the words that is encouraging us, feeding us at this time, Lord. Lord, we pray right now in Jesus' name that faith will arise by hearing of your word, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, today I want to continue sharing in my message that is entitled Position Ourselves in the Lord Our God. And before I go into that, I just really want to express this thankfulness to God, or to really thank God for, you know, having our pastors releasing to us the prophetic word, especially from 2 Chronicles 20:20, which is the basis of my message. And also before all this crisis happened, you know, coronavirus and all that, that really, it really prepared us for a time of crisis, a time of uncertainty. And also not only the words that they released, but when they connected us to, you know, the 20 prophetic words that was released from the prophets that Sifroth put together, you know, it's really, really encouraging. And I know that, you know, God just have everything is in his hands. He's in control. And so, you know, all these words have been given out even before in the early 2020, so that, you know, we are prepared for such a time as this. And with this word, then what has God been speaking to me especially is that, you know, all these words that we receive, will we then respond in faith by believing the word, or will I respond in fear and just, you know, base my response in the what I hear from the media, what I know, the facts and all these statistics and all, but truly, really hang on to the promise or the word of God that was released to each and every one of us. So, amen. All right. So, moving into my next slide here, you know, we know that this prophetic word from 2 Chronicles 20:20 was released to us, where it says, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper." And then just a few verses before this, in verse 17, it says that you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Now, from these verses I shared last time was how King Jehoshaphat built himself throughout his life, you know, and, you know, from the beginning or from from the study of 2 Chronicles, and coming to into this position in chapter 20, where he was able to then proclaim that prophetic word that we just read in verse 17 and verse 20. You know, King Jehoshaphat has gone through all the, let's call it, the training and the dealing of the Lord in his life to come to this state that he is able to declare and then believe what God is saying. And as you know, in the story, that God delivered him and the Jews. So, just as a quick recap from the lessons from the life of King Jehoshaphat, we see that firstly, he started off with good foundation. He set himself to seek God. He walked in his way, so he had a spirit of obedience, and he took delight in the ways of God. So he took time to know God. And this is in chapter 17, verse 4 specifically. Secondly, he believed, he is someone who believed in the prophets, because in chapter 18, verse 6 of 2 Chronicles, you know, he said, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" So when we read in verse 20 that when he said, "Believe in the prophets and you shall prosper," he really know that firsthand, or he really practiced that. And then thirdly, when he was in trouble in chapter 18, verse 31, when the enemy was surrounding him to attack, he cried out and the Lord helped him. So he cried out in the time of trouble. So this is a demonstration of a humility of not trusting on, you know, as a king, obviously you're going to have all the best men guarding you, but Instead, he cried out to God in times of trouble. And then number four, when the prophet named Jehu said to him, you know, you have helped the wicked because of his alliance with the wicked king. And where it says here, the prophet says, you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord. And so the wrath of God is upon you. But what it was his response is that he quickly repented. And not only that, he just repent in saying it, but he had the fruit of repentance, because it says, again, the prophet Jehu said further that, nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden idols and have prepared your heart to seek God. So we see here, even, you know, something, a lesson for us is, even though we've done mistakes in our lives, you know, it's not too late to repent and come back and seek God. So, and not only he's talking about himself, but it's said that King Jehoshaphat brought the those who dwelt in Jerusalem back to the Lord God their Father. So not only himself, but he brought others to God. And lastly, he feared God and he set himself to continue to seek the Lord. And as you see in verse 12 of Chronicles 20, you know, when he prayed that his eyes, or our eyes, him and his team, you know, are upon God. So we see that here, when crisis comes, because of the things that he's gone through, all the training he's gone through, he really knows how to rely on God. He really knows how to put his faith in God. Amen? And put his trust in God. So that's the recap from his life. And then I ended my last message with, how should we position ourselves? Now, I know that we are in this time of, you know, the coronavirus crisis and all that, but this question should be for us in the context of the last days. Now, Pastor Luby has been sharing about, you know, in the book of Revelation and the last days. When is the last days? It is now. It is happening now. And as you can see, things are happening that, you know, it is pointing that Jesus is coming back soon for us. So, you know, this coronavirus situation is just a little bit of foreshadowing of what's to come. Because if you have read through the book of Revelation, you know that the pestilence, the things that are happening and describing there, you know, one third of the world is affected and things like that. So if you look at coronavirus, it's nothing compared to what is being described in the book of Revelation. So, you know, we really, this is a message for us to embrace now. And even after coronavirus, there might be something to come that we know in the book of Revelation describing something quote unquote worse is to come. But we, the church, will be ready. We, the church, the true believers that are seeking God, will build ourselves strong, being prepared for this. And so this is what this question, how should we position ourselves, really is applicable in this context. So firstly, I mentioned to help me in this time, you know, praise the Lord, and the Holy Spirit give me this wisdom that, you know, the word position, P-O-S-I-T-I-O-N, give me the acronyms to really, really think about what I should, how I should position myself in this time. Now, number one is to have the right perspective, or in another words, to have the right mindset. So, you know, in this time, we see that using the coronavirus crisis as just an example, you know, we see that, you know, people are really fearing, you know, there's panic buying, there's things that are happening, you know, stock was running out in the grocery stores and all that. But then, we as Christian, how should we have responded this? So I also asked myself, have I responded in faith, knowing that when I say God is in control, my life is in his hands, have I really shown that? Or have I also just followed along and responded the same way as what the world would have? And all this is because, you know, truly it's the mindset or the perspective that we will have. So one thing that as born-again believers or true believers, we should have a heavenly perspective versus an earthly For it says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 that, you know, we are seated with him in the heavenly places. So that's one. Secondly, are we focusing on the eternal things or are we focusing on the temporal things? Now, not saying that, you know, trying to buy groceries and stock up your pantry is bad, but, you know, in this time, as I shared before, the radio station 98.5, there is this organization called Compassion, where, you know, the quote there, it's just a simple quote, but it really spoke to me. You know, what they do is they do ministry in places that are poor and all that. But this is what they say, you know, basic necessities are lacking in these places. So not even like Australia, we're so blessed, right, here. And there's a lot of, there's abundance. But, you know, in these places where basic necessities are lacking, but the demand is still more Bibles. Wow. This is truly speaking to me. Like, what am I focusing on? My physical life? Or am I focusing my life on the things that are eternal? And then the last one is the perspective of natural versus the supernatural, right? The natural thinking is saying, oh no, there's no treatment for this disease. There's no vaccines yet. Oh, if I get it, oh no, I don't know what to do. But we forgot that, maybe we have forgotten that we should be living in the supernatural. You know, we have God who is our healer, you know, that can do miracles. And truly, this is the time for us to claim on his promises. So I just want to read Psalms 103, and it's one of my favorite verses to really claim during this time, is that, you know, Psalms 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things." So, you know, this promise really just gives me a better perspective of, we have a great, great God that is who loves us, who cares for us, who knows what's going on. And so, you know, don't worry, don't be anxious, as it says in the word, you know. Instead, why don't we respond something different? Do something, sing, shout, right? The simple song, "My God is so big and so strong." You know, it's a, what we call, it's like a children's song, but it's truly encouraging that at this time, you know, we look to God and we look to our this perspective that is heavenly, that we are seated with him in the heavenly places. Amen? All right. Next one. The second point that for the word O, so before I had organization, but I think the Holy Spirit gave me a better word, oneness. At this time, how should I position myself? Is number one is oneness. So here in 2 Chronicles 12:12-30 is talking about oneness in terms of the body of Christ, right? One body, but many members. So at this time, we truly have to have this mindset of not just myself, oh, let me think about myself, but time for God's people to come together in unity. And I'll share a bit further in terms of that. But true unity or oneness with one another cannot be achieved unless we have oneness with the head or the Lord Jesus Christ. And then only can we have oneness with one another or the body. So here, to be one with the Lord in times of trouble, you know, we've been, again, the end of last year or past 1 or 2 years, you know, we've been learning about being still and draw from him, speaking in tongues to build ourselves, and also the Holy Communion. All these three different things really helps us to be one with the Lord. So, you know, at this time of where everyone is panicking or whatever it is, let us just be still and just enjoy the Father. For, you know, in Psalms 46 verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So our God is great. All we have to do is to just focus on being one with him and be still and just develop our relationship with him. And, you know, being a young or a new father myself, as you all know, you know, the best thing about having Zion, my son, is that, you know, when he just smiles, just because he saw me, When I come home or whatever, you know, it just brings great joy. And it's just like, wow, that's what Father God is like. When we want to spend time with Him, really, when we see Him, we smile because we are so happy to be with Him. How much more, right? And now that he can crawl and move around, it's even more precious because you can only have so much time with Him just being still with me. And then after that, He wants to crawl out and play games or whatever. So that time, it's like, and it's just speaking to me, it's maybe it's the same as me with my Father in heaven. You know, now I'm a bit more independent. I like to do all these things. I'm not spending as much time with Him. So, and this is the time where it's the most precious time that I see with Zion anyway. It's like when he's sleeping or when he's just awake. And he's got this, I've got this 15, 20 minutes where I can just really be still with him. He's awake, but he hasn't woke up to go and crawl around. So so these are what as I'm taking care of him. You know, God's just been speaking to me like, it's like almost, what about me, right? What about spending time with me? So really, in this time, you know, we should be positioning ourselves to be not only one with one another, but more importantly, one with the Lord. But again, we must have this corporate mentality. So we don't also want to only focus, oh, it's just me and God, me spending time. But there needs to be this corporate mentality because in the end, we are one body and we are in this together. So, you know, praise God for relaxing the restrictions, right? We see the restrictions, the self-isolating restriction and all this are being relaxed. Because, you know, truly, you know, we cannot forsake the gathering. And, you know, we can do Zoom and all this call, but it's nothing like coming together face to face. Amen. Right. So let's not be comfortable with Zoom. Oh, I can go church. I can sit on my couch. It's nice. It's comfy. It's warm. But, you know, I think it's a warning to us because we can be comfortable with this quote unquote new thing. And then when all this is over and the restriction is lifted, oh, I love this. I just love to remain in this. But what we need to do is, as Pastor Lubick shared, you know, after Passover, there's the next one, Pentecost. After Pentecost, there's the next one. And God will keep moving and moving. And if we get too complacent in one place, we're going to be left out. So, let us then look forward to this gathering together to be one with one another, because it's truly, truly important. Because as it says in Hebrews 10:23, and I just read the last part there, you know, it says to exhort one another so much more as you see the day approaching, the day, the second coming of Jesus. When that day is approaching, it's more important for us to even be together. Amen. All right. So next one, how should we position ourselves? Number three, position ourselves strategically. How is that? So here it's got to do again with that mindset. Are we afraid of what the enemy is doing? Because, you know, if we don't position ourselves properly, we can have this mindset. So when we talk about war or like I was giving my example in terms of taekwondo martial arts fighting, right? You know, you can have a defending stance or an attacking position. And these two are different. And, you know, if you have the wrong kind of position or mindset, you're not going to win the war, because a defending strategy is, you know, to defend and to delay the attack and then in the end to withdraw. So how do you win the war when you withdraw? So, and I put a table there. That's the tactics that is from the Australian Army. So you can see tactics or strategy is different whether you are attacking or defending. And I quote here in Matthew 16 verse 18 where Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now what is that position? Is the church defending itself from all the enemy's attack? No, it's like, doesn't it tell us here that the church is moving forward, it's advancing, and the gates of hell is the one that's trying to, you know, defend. But yet, what's going to happen is the church will overcome. The true church will overcome, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. Amen? So, then coming back to this, how do we take this for our life then? Is that, you know, are we living victoriously or are we living with that losing mindset? You know, there are facts. Yes, people die because of the coronavirus and all that. But there is also truth that is above that, that our God is a healer. And here in 1 Corinthians 15, 55, 58, you know, death has lost. So for us, Christians or born-again believers, death is not the end, right? Because we know that death is defeated, whether it's from corona or whether it's by other causes. The question is, are we ready to meet him? Because any day we can die, right? Any day we can go and meet our maker. So the question for me that God is speaking to me is, am I ready? Am I ready to meet my God? Am I ready to meet my maker? Amen. All right. And next one, number four, is the position that you have to have proper identity. Know who we are in the Lord. Now, we are known as the Son of the Most High. We are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And he has made us, in Revelation 5 verse 10 says, he has made us unto our God kings and priests, that we shall reign on earth with him. So here, when we know your identity, you will not be shaken, right? Just like if you know, if you are an owner or a boss of a big company, you know, you own this, you know who you are. You will not be shaken by different little things that are happening around you. So know that we have a great identity in Christ. Amen. Moving to the next one, the T. T here refers to a position of thankfulness or gratefulness and praise. You know, at this time, you know, one of the things that we're doing in Life Group is that, you know, just to be thankful for what we have, even the little things. So every day, have this thing of just thanking God for just thank God for what you have. Because what we can do is we focus on what we have or have received from him, we should have this gratefulness and thankfulness. However, if we start focusing on what we do not have, because at this time, right, self-isolation, it feels like we have lost our freedom. Or social distancing, oh, we've lost our friends, we can't chat with them and all that. But all these are things that we focus on the negative. But what we do have, when we focus on that, that should give us a spirit of thankfulness. So at Psalms 100 there, it's a psalm of thanksgiving that, you know, you read yourself and declare this, you know, make a joyful shout to the Lord, give thanks, you know, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And truly, this will help us during this time. Amen. All right. So, and we learn from John Bevere how the enemy deceived Eve, right? He makes her focus on what she does not have. Remember that the promise is God focus on eat all the trees. These are all the trees you can eat except for the trees of good and evil. But when the enemy comes, what did he say? Did God say, you shall not eat of every tree? So the focus here is what you don't have, what you're missing out. So this is something that we can have these negative thoughts or negative that will bring out negative emotions or negative response, which is usually comes across as anxiety or worry. So let's have a spirit of thanksgiving, and this will really help us in this time. Amen. Next one, intercession. So here, I just want to say that Uncle Donald has shared this 2 weeks ago about, you know, praying and agreeing and interceding. So here at this time, we should have this outward focus, because when we intercede, we pray and intercede for others, we intercede for nations. And, you know, truly, when we have this intercession, when we go into intercession, you know, we have this corporate mindset, because it comes into that. It's no more, I'm just praying for my nation, I'm praying for my family. But, you know, when we pray, we are meant to pray for nations, because our God is a God of nations. So I pray for your nation, you pray for mine. We may be of different background or different level of maturity, but we are praying the same thing, right? In the end, we want souls to be added into the kingdom. At this time of shaking, we want the church to truly arise, right, with strong foundation. So at this time, you know, even the mindset that we have will then show in our prayer life. Because if we only keep praying, Lord, just protect me, help me, you know, don't have this kind of mindset, because at this time, God is shaking the nations. God is doing something global, something like bigger than what we can imagine. And it says that here, remember that in Psalms 46 verse 10, where it says, be still and know that I am God. Why? So that he will be exalted. His name will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. See how here the focus is all these nations, big, right? Global. So don't just think about myself, help me, right? But you know, God will take care of us, but we are told our function is to intercede, right? Even in the book of Daniel, which we've learned before, is that, you know, when the king had the dream to be interpreted, you know, the first thing that Daniel did was to call the friends together and pray together. And when he told the interpretation, he didn't say, oh, God gave me the dream, but he said, now we will tell the dream. Can you see here that corporate mindset when they come to intercede together? Amen? All right. Let's go on to the next one. Number 7, how should we position ourselves? So, I've got here is, you know, positioning ourselves by being on our knees. So here, it's not just a religious gesture, but it's a worship, right? In Revelations 4 and verse 5, and chapter 4 and 5, you know, the throne room worship, the elders and all the creatures which are representative of the redeemed mankind all fall down on their knees and worship. And we see here, when we read the book of Revelation, we can start focusing on, wow, when the trumpets are blown and the seven bowls are up, all these bad things are happening, the 3.5 years great tribulation. But I think the focus is, remember that the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the focus is Him who sits on the throne, and everyone there is focusing on what is on the throne in the middle, right? And, you know, being on our knees as well is a symbol of humility. And showing God that we really depend on Him, that our security is in Him. You know, one of the things that God is speaking to me is like, have we learned to live without Him? Have we learned to get by without the Word? Have we learned to get by without the Spirit? You know, and one of the Sif Rock videos that we're watching, that, you know, God is really shaking idols out of our lives, right, at this time. So, you know, truly at this time, how are we positioning ourselves is we have to readjust our dependency, our security. Was it before jobs, but now because of the coronavirus, jobs are lost easily. Was it hobbies and all that? Now you can't do everything. So, you know, it's truly got to readjust back. And, you know, I like that David should said in, you know, in verse 10 and 11, you know, do not take away your Holy Spirit. Wow, that kind of desperation, right? Are we going to have that? So, and the last one, and I'm going to conclude with this, that word end is position ourselves in numbering our days. So here, I just say that, right, in terms of numbering our days, there's these warnings. Number one, even in this time of lockdown, where you may have more time, do not waste time. And then whatever that God has been speaking to us, don't delay in obeying that, because in the end, delayed obedience is disobedience. So then in the end, there's a warning that do not disobey, because as we think about it, suddenly the lockdown may be lifted already, right? And where has the time gone? All this extra time that we used to have during the lockdown, it's gone. And are we going to go back to our old schedule? Are we going to go back to our same way? Do we need something greater to happen that God will shake us again and then we start to wake up? No, let us position ourselves now, right? And this word just came to me, the phrase, you know, as long as we position ourselves in the now, right, as we keep seeking God, we will keep experiencing the new, because we are going along with God. Amen. So don't waste time, don't delay, you know, whatever God has been speaking to us, truly obey it and do it now. And let's position ourselves in the Lord. Amen.